And to talk about the World Cup thus far, doing a great job covering it for Sportsnet, we say good morning to James Sharman. Hey, James, thanks for doing this. We all know you're a guy who cheers for England, and I know you're very pessimistic. When England gets into the tournament, you get angry watching it. They break your heart over and over again. Are you now all in on the England bandwagon after their first two matches, and are you getting prepared mentally to get your heart broken once again?
Well, of course. I mean, that's always prepared, the heartbreak. You know it's coming at some point. Is it in the group phase? Is it in a knockout phase and a shootout to Germany? You know, at some point it's going to happen. But right now, it's just this very strange feeling, this celebratory mood around English football, the way they're playing, the way they're scoring goals. Now, we have to be, appreciative of just how bad Panama was. But let's not take away from what was a really ruthless performance by England. And in previous World Cups and European Championships, they've had difficulty playing against lesser teams. They don't break them down. They're not ruthless. But this time around, they look wonderful, playing the ball around, technically very strong. And that word again, ruthlessness, which, you know, we just don't generally see from English teams. So, yeah, strange feelings right now, but I'm optimistic that we'll be enjoying a decent run in this World Cup.
James, if I'm a Canadian soccer fan and I see how terrible Panama is, how angry should I be that Canada could nick them out in qualifying, because they're just embarrassing in this tournament?
Yeah, no, it's a good point, George. I mean, listen, Canada routinely drops points against teams like Panama, and that is frustrating. That being said, playing Panama in Panama is a very different beast to playing Panama either in Canada or at a World Cup somewhere else. The dark arts of CONCACAF have cost Canada on numerous times before. It isn't always their fault, as simple as that. And this time around, you know, the way Panama played over the weekend, they didn't get the calls from the referee. The referee was quite stern. They tried to get physical and nasty, which is what they do. It didn't pay off. England, didn't lose their heads. They weren't intimidated. So, yes, be angry, but just know that, you know, qualifying for the World Cup through CONCACAF and those horrible road trips south are very different beasts to playing these teams on a neutral venue.
James, obviously Canada isn't in it, so I can't cheer for Canada, but I'm part English. So I'm cheering for England. I even had tears in my eyes when they played God Save the Queen, because I'm a bit of a royalist too. But I see this brilliant, brilliant work of Harry Kane, and it makes me very happy for England. Where do you rank Harry Kane among the best players right now?
Well, as far as, you know, all-out centre forwards, he's right up there. It's as simple as that. You look at his last 3 years at Tottenham, 25 goals at least. He scores in the Champions League. He scored in qualifying. The only question was, can he do it on the big stage in a tournament? Because up until this World Cup, he hadn't really scored in two tournaments for his country. But now, you know, yes, he has. Thank you very much. 5 goals. Now, people will say, yeah, but it was 2 penalties and a deflection against Panama. Well, you know, who cares? But right now, he's tied, I believe, for second all-time in England's World Cup scorers list, which is depressing, actually. The fact that just 5 goals and do that for you. But he's very, very good. He's a clever player. He reminds me a lot of Alan Shearer, who is one of the great England strikers of all time, in that, you know, he does everything very, very well, but he hasn't got that one weapon. You don't say he's got great, great pace, or he's great with his head. You know, he's just very good with everything. And it's a great package overall. And he's confident, and he's leading the team now as well. He's got that captain's armband, which you can question, should that go to a striker? But, you know, the way that team's come together under him, you give him all the credit in the world. So, you know, let's not compare him to the elite of the elite. He's not in the Messi, Ronaldo, Neymar class, different kind of player. But as far as a centre forward's concerned, I think he's right up there with the best.
James, sticking with yesterday's results, Poland just got waxed by Colombia 3-0. And can you explain to me how Poland, seeded 8th in the world, were a seeded team for the World Cup draw ahead of Spain? In what world does that make any sense?
That's the world of FIFA, guys. That's what they do with their ranking system. It's, you know, it doesn't make much sense. They're trying to rectify that. But when you have so many countries playing so many games against all different levels, it's very hard to have a very accurate gauge from the ranking system. So that's what it comes down to. But that being said, you know, Poland, you know, were some people's dark horse picks in this World Cup. They were really good in qualifying. They got perhaps a slightly aging core, but a very good core. A couple of young guys coming through. I thought they'd be rolling through this group along with, right now at this point, it looks like Senegal, but Colombia as well. It's one of the big disappointments, I think, so far in this year's tournament. Maybe the big disappointment so far in the way they played. They're out after two games. And I think most people saw them getting through this group at the very least and maybe making a run deep in the tournament. So I'm sure right now, back home in Poland, there's going to be absolute crisis talks. What is wrong? Where are the new guys coming through? Let's rebuild Polish football. Because, you know, you look at Lewandowski, for example, you know, who was the top scorer in European qualifying. He bossed it, I believe, 17 goals. Something ridiculous. You know, he's invisible at the World Cup, got no service. Didn't get the job done. So, yeah, there's some question marks there, and overall, a massive disappointment.
All eyes will be on the Iran-Portugal game today. Obviously, Portugal's in charge of their own destiny. A win gets them through, but Iran can defend, and Portugal hasn't done a whole bunch except for Ronaldo. Do you think Iran can play the role of the spoiler today?
You know what? It's such a great question because, you know, looking at how Portugal's played so far, and how Iran's played, then yeah, absolutely, there's a chance Iran can get something out of this game, but they've got to win it. And they are very good defensively, but haven't shown much going forward at this World Cup. But in qualifying, they have. They've got some goal scorers. But then you've got the Ronaldo factor, right? And you never, I've learned now, just never to write off Ronaldo ever. Because, you know, when his team needs him to score a goal, he'll be the one scoring that goal. Yes, they're over-dependent on him 100%, but who cares when he's that consistent with his goal scoring. So I expect Portugal to get through this. It might take a draw. You know, it might be that simple because they haven't looked good so far. I'm sorry to the Portuguese fans. If not for Ronaldo, you'd be in a world of trouble right now. You know, you could be out of the World Cup at this point. So we'll see. And Iran, like I said, they've been a pretty good story. They got the points against Mallorca. They look really good. Sorry, against Morocco, sorry. They look really good against Spain as well, despite dropping the points there. But it's going to be a tight one, this, and probably the one to watch today.
Sportsnet soccer analyst James Sharman joining us here on the Jeff Blair Show. James, Russia and Uruguay, they're playing this morning at 10 o'clock to see who's going to win Group A. And the Russians were a team a lot of us thought were the worst host team in the history of the World Cup. They're going to get embarrassed here. It's going to be, you know, incredibly bad. And they have rolled, be it beating Egypt in Saudi Arabia. How do you fancy the chances of the Russians moving forward, because they got to play the crossover with that Portugal and Spain group? But are the Russians better than we all thought heading into this tournament, or just based at playing at home that they're kind of riding that wave of being the home team in this tournament?
Yeah, I think you hit it there. I think we'd be pretty underrated just what it means to host a World Cup and what it can do to push you further. Add in the fact that they played a very, very bad Saudi Arabia and a terribly disappointing Egypt team with a Mo Salah, who is at 50%. So with respect to Russia, who played really well and they scored lots of goals, they haven't really been tested yet by a good team. That will happen today against Uruguay, who haven't yet hit their full speed just yet. And I expect a Uruguay win today quite comfortably. And then Russia moves on to the last 16 against one of Spain, Portugal, or maybe Iran, who knows. And I expect them to probably crash out at that round. But frankly, to get to the round of 16, it's good for Russia, good for them. You know, no one really thought they'd do it. So I think at this point they could say, no matter what happens from a football standpoint, it's been a successful World Cup for Russia.
So when you look at this Uruguay-Russia game today, and obviously they both go through to the round of 16, how much time will the starters get in this game? Because obviously they want to play a good team and they want to get in a rhythm, but they also don't want anyone hurt going forward.
Yeah, it's a big dilemma, isn't it, for a coach? You know, when you've already guaranteed a place through to the next round, do you rest some players? Do you bring some new guys in? You probably do to a certain point, but Uruguay want to win this group still. They really want to avoid Spain. And Spain's probably going to win the other group. So they would be much happier playing against Portugal or Iran, as simple as that. I think they'll go for it. I think they'll play their stars. It's still early enough in the tournament that they shouldn't be tired. There's always a risk of getting hurt, but it's a bit like England playing Belgium, you know, in the next round. Frankly, the second-place team in that group will avoid a potential match against Germany or Brazil in the quarterfinals. So does Belgium or England rest players, you know, and hope to drop points in that one? So a bit of a dilemma. I think you just got to try and win each game. Momentum means everything in these tournaments. So I would say that Uruguay, they might tinker here and there, but generally speaking, you'll see the Suarez and Cavani and Betancur playing in this one.
James, heading into the final group stage matches, which team has looked the best to you, and which team potentially could maybe go all the way? Is it a team like Belgium? Could England make some serious noise? What team has really impressed you thus far?
Yeah, well, you know what? I mean, I hate to say this because I don't know what people will say, right? But I mean, if you remove the names of the teams and the color of the shirts and look at the performances, England's actually looked really good so far against, admittedly, you know, lesser opponents. But they've been ruthless. They've attacked. They pass the ball really well. They've defended okay. So I'd say England's really impressed me. But if I'm going to put my money on a team, it's still going to be Germany. And I know they came so close to crashing out this weekend. But they've now peered over that chasm and seen what failure looks like and what it's going to feel like back home. And I think that might be the biggest motivator for this German team, who I can't imagine are going to, you know, drop any more gears. They looked at times on the weekend absolutely brilliant against Sweden. Other times looked terrible, but they found a way, you know. They found a way, and they rescued their chances at the death of that Toni Kroos goal. So if I'm anyone else right now, and Spain's looked really good, Belgium, you're right, have looked fantastic as well. France at moments have looked very, very good. I'd be terrified of Germany still, because they haven't even hit, you know, the top two gears yet. They've come close, but they've found a way. So I'm still picking Germany, and that would still be the team I think most teams should fear.
Wow, that's shocking to me, just because they didn't look that good. But moving on, Spain and Morocco. Wow, I think I'm picking Belgium, by the way, if anyone cares.
That's fair enough. Belgium, they look great. And again, they played lesser opponents like England as well, but they've bossed them. They look really happy. And score it well, but again, there's some question marks defensively with that team as well. I think the England-Belgium game coming up, I believe, on Thursday is going to be a real tell for both teams.
That Spain-Morocco game today that you touched on, obviously Spain should come through with a W, but Spain hasn't looked like Spain yet. So what do they have to fix going forward?
You know, I think at times they've looked very good, actually, you know, and they've controlled most of their games, I think, and probably should have 6 points, let's be honest. You know, they're beaten by Ronaldo's brilliance in that first game there. They're a team that understands what tournament football is about. They build slowly. They peak at the right time, because you don't want to peak too early. And it's very rare, if you look back at a number of World Cups, it's very rare you see a team dominating from day one to the final. Even Germany, at this point last year, 4 years ago in Germany, people were calling for Yogi Love's head. They're saying, this team is playing awfully. You have to get rid of this team and this manager, and Philipp Lahm must be playing back at right back, and then suddenly it clicked, and they won the World Cup. So I see some similarities there with Spain so far. They're not the vintage 2008 Spain, but that's okay. They're still very, very good. They've got some youth coming through. I think Isco's looked really good at times so far in this tournament, and Costa's scoring goals, and that was a big concern. Where would the goals come from up front? And it's being Costa. So, you know, if I'm Spain, I'm fine. You know, they started the job despite all the scandal just in days prior to the World Cup with their manager leaving, of course. So I don't think they changed too much. They keep doing it. They're playing a very impressive Morocco team who have nothing to play for, you know, so no pressure on them. So it could be interesting, but I think we'll see Spain step it up a gear today.
James, before I let you go, European teams have the best record at the World Cup so far during this stage of the tournament since 1934. Is that good for the World Cup? Because I know you're of European descent, I'm of European descent, and we have this bit of entitlement when it comes to soccer, saying, well, yeah, Europe should be the best countries at the World Cup. Is this good for the tournament?
Well, they're the most berths, right? I think it's good for the tournament, sure, but I think what's also great for the tournament is how, like, a team like Senegal is playing from Africa and how Japan's playing from Asia. You know, we're going to expand to 48 teams in 8 years' time. Yeah. Right, which, yeah, I know exactly, right? There's going to be some bad teams, but it's truly going to be a world tournament. So the world is getting smaller and smaller regarding football terms these days. You're going to see these other nations get better, these other confederations improve in 8 years' time. That being said, there's going to be some terrible teams, as I mentioned there. But, you know, I want to see the top teams do well. I like to see dynasties myself in sport. And I know that might be unpopular, but I personally don't mind seeing it. But when you see, like, the Senegal of the world, you know, with these great players playing in top leagues in Europe, that's what's good for the game, I think. And the way they play, and a team like Japan, who's surprising us all right now, they could be going through, you know, from Asia. Asia's a confederation that are investing lots of money in the game. They'll be much better. So, yeah, sure, Europe's doing well. Good for Europe. But don't discount these other nations just yet.